Presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Wolves Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
He said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. Really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
To be with you on this hump day Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Wednesday means a Wolves midweek around these parts, and the new head honcho, the new leader of the pack, will be joined live in studio by Matt Wilbur here today. Hopefully. I mean, the weather out there is not great. And, okay, you're giving me the point. So he'll be here in just a few short moments. He'll be joining us live on the air in about 10 to 15 minutes on the show. Hey, speaking of Northern State, today, of course, is NSU's fifth annual Given Day. That begins in about 2 hours' time at 12 noon. It's a 24-hour challenge to raise money for essential funding to areas across the campus of NSU. If you can provide help, go online to givingday.northern.edu. That's givingday.northern.edu. Whether that's $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, or maybe even $1,000, whatever you can donate today, givingday.northern.edu. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure. How are you, sir? Happy Wednesday.
Doing all right. How are you doing with all this snow out there?
You know, not great. I just don't like the snow. I mean, I don't mind it around December, January. It's all good. But springtime means it should be at least, give me 50 degrees. But yeah, it's not great out there. A lot of that thick, high moisture content snow, perfect to build Frosty the Snowman for sure.
This April Fool's joke's going a little bit too far, man.
Literally. I mean, you've got 24 hours. You've got 24 hours to fool us with the jokes and what have you, which, by the way, there was some good stuff on social media yesterday. We'll get to the jump here in just a second. But yeah, you know, it's not great as it pertains to people like you and me that are not farmers, but I guarantee you some farmers out there are like, man, we need the moisture. So in that respect, all right, it's okay.
It is okay. In that respect is right.
No doubt. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen with my main man,
Mr. Unlimited,
here on FSA. Also, oh, by the way, speaking of the snow, just saw this not that long ago that the Aberdeen Public Schools will be dismissing at noon today. Aberdeen Public Schools dismissing at noon today. Check out the cancellations tab via hubcityradio.com. It is courtesy of Kurtz Motorsports. So a lot of schools out there are either closed or dismissing early. Aberdeen Public, one of those, dismissing early here today at 12 noon. Our neighbors up north in Ellendale, they've got a virtual learning day up there. And, you know, back when I was a kid, you were a kid, we didn't have this thing called virtual learning. Snow day meant snow day. So for the kids nowadays, you know, tough sledding, I guess, you know?
I was thinking about when you said the noon dismissals. Those were the best at school, weren't they? When you got the 12:30 dismissals because of snow.
Yes.
I was a big fan of that.
I was a huge late start guy. I think it was, ironically enough, I think it was either on Wednesdays or Tuesdays. Every, like, 2 weeks, we'd have a late start. We'd start at, like, 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Because normally we started, I think, either at 7:30, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like earlier and earlier. Then I got into my freshman year of college, and there I was just like, oh, 8 a.m. class? That's a breeze. I had 7:30 when I was in high school.
That's early for high school.
It is. It was very early. But let me tell you, 8 a.m. in college, a lot different than 7:30 in high school.
Sure.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. I think my first class was like at 8:30, but we had to be in homeroom at like 8:08. So it was very tedious on the number, like the times of the classes.
Never thought I'd hear the words homeroom on the Sports Hub, but I'm right there with you. I remember homeroom. I don't even remember who my homeroom was, but I remember it was a thing. So we did it back in the day for sure. All right, so you kind of joked already that April Fool's Day is in the books, so knock it off, Mother Nature. But speaking of jokes, and we talked about this last year towards the tail end of the season, late September, you recall the Twins were in a playoff push. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They were close, but they kind of sagged off late. And they've kind of carried that late season momentum's not the right word, but that late season slog kind of into the early stages of this year, although they did win yesterday. But I did see this on social media yesterday with the Twins game, and one out, and he just doesn't leg out the ground ball. And he is just lagging. He's lagging and lagging and lagging. And I thought to myself, doesn't that kind of look familiar? Yes, it does. Back in late September last year, bottom of the 13th inning, they're down by two. Hits a little comebacker to the pitcher. He's just jogging it. Pitcher airmails it to the first baseman. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I got to hurry up and get to first base quickly. And then he doesn't get there in time. He gets thrown out. I understand when you're being paid millions upon millions of dollars, it is difficult to put in this crazy thing called
effort.
But my goodness, just a little bit, please.
Especially four games in. Now, I understand it was a tailor-made double play, but come on. I mean, can you show a little bit of effort? And I saw the comment above that tweet, hey, you're 0-4. Maybe, hey, Carlos, you're 0-4. Maybe could you run out of ground ball? I saw that, and I wasn't surprised that they're 0-4 when you see stuff like that. Now, they got a big five-run six there yesterday to kind of finally get the bats woken up, and big shout out to the bullpen there. They only allowed one earned run. It was from Louis Varland. The rest of the guys pitched well. Woods Richardson was but the bullpen carried him. But yeah, I'm with you, man. We literally saw this in September, and we gave him a lot of grief in that game. I remember that in September. We were like, what are you doing? 13th inning. You never know what to throw. Taylor made ground ball. I understand it, but can you give a little bit of effort? I mean, we're four games in, and we're already talking about effort plays. We're talking about emptying your bench four games in to this season. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's spot on. That's a spot on assessment. We're four games in, and we're already talking about effort plays, which is crazy to me. And I recall when Ichiro Suzuki burst onto the scene in the early 2000s, and he would leg out every single ground ball, and sometimes it got him on first base because shortstops and second basemen, they were just like, ah, this guy's not going to let, oh my gosh, he's already at first base. So leg it out. You never know what can happen.
That's a good example, because why do you think Ichiro had as many hits as he did? Because of that. By the way, did you see Ichiro? He threw the first pitch out for the Mariners. Threw it like 85 miles an hour. Guy still could probably play today if he wanted to.
He could easily lace him up and play right field for the Seattle Mariners. That is absolutely for sure. So that is no joke as it pertains to April Fool's Day, but there were some good April Fool's Day pranks yesterday. A new look for QB1 for Matthew Stafford of the Los Angeles Rams. Both arms are completely tatted. Of course, that's a fake. That's not real. He's not actually tatted up. But why don't you see that? You don't see that very often with QB1 being all tatted up.
No, you don't see that at all with the quarterbacks. That'd be funny if he's like, yeah, that's actually real, by the way.
Yeah, no April Fool's Day prank. That is actually not the case. You know, speaking of April Fool's Day and the kids say nowadays, low-key, well, yesterday, a new era dawned for Mountain America Stadium there, for Sun Devil football there, for ASU, the Maroon Field. And you know what? Low-key, it actually looked pretty good.
It looked really good. It got me, though. It got me. I texted you that yesterday, and then I thought to myself, oh, April Fool's right after, but it looks sweet. Can you imagine the all-maroon-type jerseys with that field? Sign me up for that. It'd probably be hard to see the football, though.
I was going to say, it's probably a broadcaster's nightmare, but if you're a fan and you're watching it on TV, it's probably fine. I will tell you, It did look cool, but yeah, April Fool's Day prank. And hey, let's go up to the Magic City, Minot State. They tweeted out the exact same thing. They've got the red turf coming in next year. And see, the Sun Devils, they kind of did it of hours later. They're like, ah, gotcha, got him. Got that meme. And 2 hours later on the Minot State one, actually looks like 15 hours later, they just did a little response on it and just said, April Fool's.
That's
just
how you got to do it. You got to let it simmer. You got to let it wait. You got to let people think.
Let it breathe.
Yeah, let it breathe.
It's like a fine wine.
Yeah, just let it go for a while, and then you can just be like, oh, by the way, April Fool's, and you can get somebody. I mean, that Arizona State, I was like, oh, this actually looks good. Is this real? Nope. But yeah, that's how you got to do it with the April Fool's jokes. You just got to let it simmer for some, and people will take it seriously.
Absolutely. And by the way, for those of you that are watching the Facebook stream, you can check out the photo of the new field, if I can find it here. It's got to be here somewhere. Arizona State football. Come on, X, do your thing. And there it is. There's the maroon field. Yeah, that looks good. That looks good.
That looks sweet, man.
That looks really, really good. Big fan of that. All right, finally, I think this is the first one of the season. The first cycle of the season was hit the other day for the Chicago Cubs, Carson Kelly, and a big win for them. They, I think, dominated, I believe it was the Athletics, I believe. That was out in Sacramento, which is still weird to me. But Carson Kelly, the first cycle of the season. We don't talk cycles too much. Pretty cool deal.
He had a couple firsts. He had the first cycle. He also had the first complete game of the year. Eovaldi had a complete game. So he had a couple firsts in the MLB. By the way, with that Sacramento. Oh, but they're not called the Sacramento A's. They're just called the A's.
Okay.
Did you see the press box? Or not the press box, the place where they do interviews?
It's
like a little shack. You got to see it. It's like, all right, the press conference, if you look it up, you'll find it. But
they're not even called the Sacramento A's?
No, they're just called the A's. They don't want to. Yeah, I was like, oh, I wonder if they're called the Sacramento A's. They're not doing that. They're going to fill that ballpark, though. It's a minor league ballpark. So, I mean, they'll get decent, but they're going to be gone in 3 years. I mean, who knows when that Vegas stadium is going to be complete.
Well, it's kind of like the L.A. Chargers before they moved to L.A. Remember, they played in that soccer field for a couple of years, a year or two there for football. And all of the purple and gold that was there when they played the Vikings, it looked like 90-10 Vikings fans to Chargers fans. And now they play in L.A., and it's, well, the same thing. All right, coming up next on the show, we are going to talk with the man of the week. I would say man of the hour. I mean, he'll be here for the hour, certainly, Matt Wilbur. He has been a very, very hot commodity for sure, and he's kind enough to take some time out of his busy schedule and join us here live in studio. We'll have a discussion with head coach Wilbur.
And glad to be joined live in studio by the new leader of the pack, head coach Matt Wilbur of the Northern State men's basketball squad. Coach, good to see you this morning.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, good to see you guys. I hope you're good with me sticking around here, because I don't know if I'm getting back. I mean, getting out here was amazing, how much snow we have. And I'm not going to lie to you, I've got a Phoenix, Arizona car and not a South Dakota car. When I got that job, I traded in my Ram and I had a truck, and now I got this little Toyota Camry. And I've been arguing with my wife about it, because she was like, hey, we're not buying another car. So I got some work to do. So, yeah, you guys might be stuck with me if I try to pull out of this parking lot.
That's cool. I'm good with that. We could just do like a 24-hour podcast or something like that.
That's about what I'm looking at when I was driving out here, because I had plans to run down to Mitchell tonight to grab a couple of things, and I'm like, I don't think I'm running anywhere right now. So.
Well, what they say is Toyotas, they last forever, so that's good news there.
They do last forever, and this one is probably going to last a couple more months is what it's going to be, and then somebody else can absorb that.
Did you see the boxy car out front? That's the toaster. That's the David Tewksbury toaster.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's what I drive. Scion.
Whatever it is, it's covered in snow, guys. Like, it's coming.
So part of you kind of regret this. I mean, you're in Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. I mean, this is beautiful. 80 degrees, and now you come up here and you got this outside.
I honestly will joke about it, and absolutely not in the real world. But yeah, you think about that. The part of it is I'm glad I went down and did it. I'm glad I went down and did that. But yeah, guys, I mean, it's going to be 90 degrees down there. You know, I'd have been, my job requirements at that job, hey, you're done by 2-3 in the afternoon a lot of days. And you're like, well, I'll just go sit by the pool. I was living in this great stuff. I was living in a retirement village And my wife's aunt and uncle had a place, and they let me live there. Now, I had to get approved because it's 55 and over. I mean, it's Cocoon, the movie. Like, I mean, that's throwing it back there a little ways. You know, that's what it is. And they're having a blast down there. And I went in to turn in my paperwork. And before I got my paper for the rental out to the lady, she's like, you're too old. You're too young to live here. I was like, oh, for the love of Pete, I'm going to have to move out right now. And so I was tiptoeing around there. But yeah, I got grandfathered into that place. So I'll miss that, but I'm glad I did it. And but I couldn't be more excited to be moving up to Aberdeen.
Well, I remember when, you probably don't remember, but I remember the last time we had you on is right when you accepted that.
Yeah, that's right. Job. Yep, absolutely.
And you said it was just like something that it was like, hey, I just got to do this.
Yep.
You know, yep. It was just something that you said.
I appreciate you saying that. Like, had I not had an 11-year run at Dakota Wesleyan, you know, like, there was a lot of speculation on that. Is he running from something? What's he doing? You know, I've seen some stuff like, oh, he's got this going on or that. And none of that was. That was a tough decision for my wife and family and for us to make. But you're in a profession that you got to be willing to take some chances and opportunities. Knowing now what I know of the job and what it was, had I known, I'd have regretted it for the rest of my life had I not done that. I'm telling you, that was such a great experience. I learned so much. We can talk more about more of that if you want. But yeah, it was one of those where I just like, I got to go down there. My dude was getting the job, and it was like, hey, I know I was going to be helpful to him just to be an ear to lean on, just to be there for that. So it was great. It was great.
College men's basketball, WNBA pro women's basketball. How different are those two as pertains to the athlete and everything else?
Well, the game's really different. It's always an interesting question, and this is a great debate, you know, with people. And it only happens in basketball. You know, you'll hear the meathead guy be like, "Oh, women's basketball, blah, blah, blah." You know, they'll do that. They can't do this, and they can. Well, yeah, I mean, there is a difference between men and women physically. So, like, I mean, we don't compare. You know, you don't, I mean, I'm throwing names out here, whatever. Ben Johnson, the sprinter from way back, and Jackie Joyner-Kersee, we don't compare those numbers. We're like, hey, that's the men's number. This is the women's number. But women's basketball, you get this, like, well, they can do this. They can't do that. Yeah, it's a completely physically different game.
And I can't do anything.
Yeah, so it was you know, going down and watching it, you know, the vertical side of it, you know, separation vertically is a big deal. It's way more physical. The women's game, the WNBA is way, way more physical. And, you know, I was just talking about this, about, you know, Caitlin Clark's emergence in the WNBA and what she's like. And a lot of people followed her from college into the WNBA, and they watched her just get beat up. And they're like, geez, they're targeting Caitlin. And now I didn't come in a fan of Caitlin or a hater. I mean, I think she's going to be the best player in the world at one point here. And it might be next year. Who knows? But, you know, everybody's beating everybody up in that league. I always joke with DT. I'd be like, DT, I understand why you're so grumpy. You got 20 years of just getting grabbed, held, and knocked over. And so that's where the game is played. It's very physical. It's very physical at the shoulders and the hips, and they just beat the heck out of them. And so, yeah, I think the women's game is way more physical, but there's just differences in it. But, hey, coaching is coaching. You know, you talk about Diana Taurasi. Now, you better know your stuff if you're going to say something to her. You better know what you're talking about if you're going to suggest anything. But she wanted to be coached. And the biggest difference for me was like getting freshmen and sophomore guys into the programs, and you're trying to pull out of them like, hey, you got to talk a little bit. That was not a problem with professionals. They were engaging. They were outspoken. They were forward thinking, and they were like, hey, what's this? You didn't always just have to dictate to them. They wanted that. You talk to the highest level, they're very coachable. They wanted to be coached, but they knew what was up, and they had no problem vocalizing and talking and initiating. So there you go. And now, you know, the men and the women, like, I mean, they're hoopers, man. They're hoopers. And we coach them like hoopers, and that wasn't a difference. Long story short, sorry there.
No, you're good. You mentioned it during your press conference, the word competitive, too, because you brought that up yesterday when we talked to Ryan Deal. My guess is there's probably a little bit of a difference in the college level from competitive competitive to the professional level. Like, you know, in the professional level, you got to compete.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's not as much coaching into that part of it than maybe it is in the men's game. Is that fair?
Yeah, the competitive nature of players, you know, and that's a huge topic, right? Like, you know, with when you're talking about finding college guys and recruiting and trying to dive into how competitive they really are, you know, like how competitive are you? And, you know, they're not all competitive at the pro level either. You know, like they're just not all, some are super talented, you know, some are super talented and they can just show up and be like, hey, give me the ball and get me out on the court and I can get this done. And there's different levels of that, you know, like, there's different levels. And I would go into it and it wouldn't be trashing somebody, but Diana Taurasi's competitive level, you know, like with what she does, you know, what she gets away, you know, like, you know, athletically, she never was the super athlete, you know, like as far as quickness and verticality and all. I mean, she was highly, highly skilled, but her will is through the roof. I mean, her will is through the roof. And Natasha Cloud was the same way. I mean, just highly, highly competitive. So you'd see those differences. But it was just always all of them. Like, Brittany Griner was very laid back. You know, she was very like, hey, you know, she had a great rhythm about her. And but when it was time, boom, it was just shown in different ways. And so, you know, the collegiate side versus the professional side, the rhythm of everything you do day in and day out, you know, collegiate is let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, you know, and the pro rhythm is a little bit different, you know, when, especially the workouts and the practices and the, you know, it isn't just so, you know, hey, we're just yelling and screaming to yell and scream. Hey, what's this rep about? What's this? I mean, you start talking about ball screen defense with Diana Taurasi, that's a lot different than talking about it with a freshman and sophomore in college. I mean, she's like, okay, yep, she's already done this every different way. It's like, how do we want to do it? And you don't have to show her. You don't have to be like, here's the footwork, here's this, here. She's like, okay, got it. You know, now you're talking about maybe the best, I mean, I'm not saying maybe, for me, the best basketball mind that I've ever been around, you know, and it comes quick for her. She is quick witted, you know, like her. She went on The View, right? And Whoopi Goldberg is introducing her, and Whoopi Goldberg goes, "We'd like to welcome out Diana Taurasi." That's how she pronounced it.
Nice.
And you could see DT coming out there. And you could see her already, and she immediately sits down. Good morning, Whoopi. You know, and she's like that. She'll do those she'll do interviews, post game interviews, and she flips from English to Spanish. You know, just boom, boom, boom. You know, and so yeah, like you start talking to her about basketball, you better know what time it is and what you're doing, because you know. And I loved it. I loved telling her, hey, you missed a block out there. And she'd just roll her eyes and maybe an expletive or two coming at me. So, yeah, it's a different deal, though. It's a different rhythm.
Well, we're glad to have Matt Walber here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Hey, see, there you go. There you go, Tukes. That's pretty good right there.
There you go. Matt Walber here in studio, FSA. And I'm curious, I know you kind of talked about it a little bit in your intro presser, coaching for you. How did it even get started? I mean, obviously, your dad played back in the day here at Northern State, but where was that first seed that kind of planted in your brain?
Yeah, I was when I moved to Del Rapids, I moved to Miller from Miller, South Dakota, to Del Rapids, South Dakota in the mid '90s, and I went to Del Rapids. The head coach there was Mick Hoagland. All right, and I played for Mick, you know, for 3 years, my sophomore through senior years. And then when I went to Augustana College, I wanted to teach and coach. You know, that was kind of the idea. I went in as an English major and wanted to teach and coach. I really liked that. I got into the college, and then the English, my first couple English classes, it was like, hey, read these 200 pages by tomorrow and we'll be back. And so I found a campus map and I went to the PE center, and then I moved my major to the PE. So I got my English minor, but I got out of the major quick. But I wanted to always coach. And so I was a walk-on basketball player at Augie, and that was really tough. You know, I was playing baseball at the same time. So I played baseball and basketball all the way through my college career. But I would go, and there were some really distinct signs that I'm never going to be able to play college basketball. I am not good enough. And, but I remember to myself going, I want to coach, so I'm not going to quit. And so I don't care what, you know, there was a point where I was like, I don't care what this ends up looking like, but I know it's going to be hard for me to maybe get into coaching with a resume of I quit playing college basketball and then hopping on. And so I will credit my stupid 20-year-old self at that time of going, hey, stick with this, because if you play and you're just on the bench, the transition into coaching is going to be a lot easier with that. And so I can't remember exactly when that point was, but that was it. Now, I was fortunate that we had a couple of injuries. Everybody transferred, and it was like, hey, do we got a two guard in this building anywhere? And I was like, right here, you know, like, and so I got to play a lot, you know, my last couple of years at Augie. But that was it. And then I was a student assistant at Augie. It was a tough year. Our coach got fired in the middle of the year. My college coach, a guy that was really important to me. He got fired. We had a presidential change and they just were targeting him in that. And so we had a really tough year, but I still wanted to coach. I hooked on with the University of Sioux Falls and Shane Murphy. Tibbetts was on the staff. I coached the USF JV basketball team, right? Like, and I've had JV teams at Dakota Wesleyan, and I'm always encouraging guys, hey, that's okay. Because I was an assistant with USF men's varsity team, but I was the head coach with the JV team, and I would drive the bus and take these guys, run practices. And the kids look at you differently when you're the head coach. I don't care if it's JV or what, but those eyes, the way the engagement and just the energy in coaching, it was the first time I'm like, this is it. This is what I want to do. And so that was really what kickstarted me with it. And then I go up to SCSU, and I was an assistant up there. My wife and I got married. We were having twins right away. I applied for the Ron Colley job and did not get it, which was, you know, congrats, Todd Neuendorf. You know, way to go, man. And I was kind of like, okay, thank you, Ron Colley, because I would have taken that job. But I was just coming out. I had no coaching experience. And I applied for the Dakota State job and didn't get a sniff, you know. And so I was like, well, I moved back to Sioux Falls. And I was like, well, I'm going to resign to stop coaching. And I started the basketball development business with Nate Tibbetts called Tibbs Basketball. And I did that for 8 years. And then it was kind of like I'd watch these final, it's this time of year, watching NCAA tournament games. I'm like, oh, I miss this. And I feel like I should be there. And, you know, all the steps to getting to Dakota Wesleyan happened, where thank you for that. They should have never hired me with my resume. I didn't have a resume, you know, and they took a chance on me. And luckily, as it turned out, there were a lot of talented kids sitting in that room when I first got there. And we took off and we had a really good run at Dakota Wesleyan. And I got that job. And it was reaffirming where, hey, this is who you are. This is, you know, you hope you figure out who you are, right? Like, you hope your kids figure that out. You hope your players figure it out. I said that a little bit about being passionate about something, and that happened at DWU, and I'll be eternally grateful for being able to live out a professional dream. And obviously that opportunity has spurred to the Phoenix Mercury, and I, you know, probably don't have a chance at this job without the Phoenix Mercury and Dakota Wesleyan, right? And so man, I've been pretty lucky in this profession, and I can't wait to get going here.
We got to take a quick break. Yep. We're gonna have Matt McClure with a question here in just a second. More with head coach Matt. We're back on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Matt Wilbur joining us live in studio, head coach of the Northern State men's basketball squad.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about how you got into coaching, Coach Wilbur, and then you had immediate success there at DWU. You went to six straight national tournaments. I mean, did you see that coming right away? I mean,
no.
Success
no,
right away.
No, it, and I, listen, our players were amazing. And I was talking about this, that, you know, when I got the job, everybody in Mitchell that I talked to about basketball, because we had graduated, Coach Murphy had graduated a couple of really good guards. They had gone like 14 and 17 the year before I got there. But people are like, hey, with what's here, you're gonna win six or seven games. You just need to be prepared for that. And I was new, and I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm coach college basketball. Let's go. And so we had freshman guards in the program that were like, hey, these guys maybe, you know. And we had a big coming back. Jalen Voss from Worthington was an honorable mention All-American. He led the league in double-doubles. He was big. The expectations were low. And here's what happened. I brought in one player, and I brought in one dude. I signed one kid. I was like, we need some help at the guard. Nice enough kid, but had no idea about college basketball. And I bring him in, and I'm like, oh no, this is a complete mistake. And so I had to remove him from the team before we even started, you know. And so, and I said right away, I was like, I asked my team, I asked those guys, I'm like, what do you want? What do you want from this? And they were like, we want a culture. We want to feel good about our locker room. We want to do it. Okay, let's do it. Then follow the leader. Here's what it's got to be. And we had the right guys for that. But I bring this guy in. He was opposite of culture. He was opposite of everything. It was like, oh, no, this was a mistake. Talented kid. But I was like, listen, if we're not going to win six games, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this to this locker room. And I've always said by that, if you put me in a position to choose between you and the team, that ain't a decision. That's just an action, and that's a tough action because I understand the personal side of it. But I removed him from the team, and then I talked to our guys, and I'm like, how many of you guys did I recruit? The only guy that I recruited isn't here anymore. So if you think I'm serious about this team thing, then just take a look at the last 24 hours. And so we go out to practice. And then I had a returner too. Was an interesting kid. You know, was an interesting kid. Nice kid. It ended on good terms, and relationship was really good. But basketball for him, he has the worst practice you could ever imagine. And I'm looking at him after this. It goes on. I'm like, What are you doing? I'm watching him, and so I just had to go up to him. I'm like, hey, man, we're going to end this today. Just, you know, come find me. Well, we talked, and then he decided, you know, it was a mutual, like, hey, I'm going to be done. And after that, I went out to practice, and I was like, oh, this is a college basketball team. You know, the energy and fire. And they took off, man. We were 18-14 that first year, and we played Morningside. We played Morningside in a semifinal game, and had we won that, we'd went to the national tournament my first year because Dort had won to the championship, and we would have got the automatic bid just making the championship. We played Morningside in a day like this. Nobody could get there. 108-106 in overtime, and I played five guys, six a little bit. We played five dudes, and we had three guys go for 30. It was a wild game. The stats and numbers on this, and we lost on a last-second shot. And that group, I've never seen a more devastated locker room than that group, and that kick-started everything. And that group, the next year, we added a couple of pieces. We added Joey Mitchell, who was at Black Hills State, and it was just the right transfer, tough kid. You know, I had these young guards in Tate Martin and Trey Berg that looked like they were 15 years old, and Joey had hair coming out of everywhere. You know, he was just coming at you. They went 32-5, and we, you know, and then it was going. We recruiting was good, and I just was really fortunate with that first group. So yeah, I couldn't have seen it, but we had a great run.
Yeah, Hitchcock Tulare guy. We had him on the Sports Hub before the State B tournament.
Yeah, Wessington Springs.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, Wessington Springs.
Really fun visit with him for sure. Yeah. And I actually pulled up the box score right here. You had Chris Menning go for 31. You had Jade Miller for 30-7. Jalen Voss with 27 points.
Look at Tate Martin's stat line. He had 11 assists, I think, and like two turnovers or something. And he was like 0 for 1. If he'd have made a layup, we'd have won that game. Yeah. He smoked a wide open layup.
0 points, 0 for 3.
0 for 3.
But 10 assists. Yeah, yeah, and a rebound there too.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Tate Martin, man, he was something else. So in that first group I had, I mean, Tate Martin ended up being a player of the year, first team All-American. Trey Berg was a first team. Now Trey, he was averaging 15 a game. He got knocked unconscious in the first round of that tournament. I about tackled every ref out there. I was losing my mind. I'm like, we had won the game, and it was one of those. The only way they're getting back into the game is if they just foul the heck out of us, and I am losing my mind. I'm like, that's a foul. And then all of a sudden, and they're ignoring me, and I'm just like, then Trey gets knocked out. Guy tries to go right through his back of his head, and it knocked him out unconscious. And I'm out in the middle of the court, and it's quiet because Trey's down. Our trainer is talking to him. I was trying to, like, get him going, and he's in the trainer's like, I got it. So I got up, and I am just losing it on these refs, and they knew it. I mean, but we beat Midland was number 5 in the country that year. They went all the way to the runner-up. They were a runner-up, national championship runner-up. And then we had to play that Morningside game without Trey. He was in concussion protocol for about 7 months, I think, after that. But Tate was a first-team All-American. Trey was a first-team All-American. Jalen was a first-team All-American. Menning was a third-team All-American. Luke Bamberg was the defensive player of the year eventually. I mean, Yeah, we had a great locker room, but they were rock solid together. They're like that group was like, if you could paint a team of how they should interact together, they were. And I'm telling you, I don't remember that next year when we went 32-5, one guy rolling their eyes at somebody else. I don't remember. They would get after each other, but they looked each other in the eyes and they were like, hey, this isn't good enough. And we had some crazy moments. So I was spoiled. You know, I was like, well, they're all going to be like Luke Bamberg. The best teammates you've ever been around, you know. So, but that's how we got started. It was wild. That Morningside game, I mean, you look at the shooting percentages on that. Okay, look at the free throws. I think like two or three free throws were missed total.
You missed zero.
We were
22 for 22.
Yeah, that was a wild game, man.
And they were 19 for 21.
Yeah, that was a wild game. They had a kid named Danny Rudine that was just a lunatic. He was so good. So, yeah, if we had won that game, it would have been the national tournament right away. And people are like, hey, you're not going to win a dang game this year. So, I'm okay. Hey, if we have that for the first year, hey, we'll take it. Go ahead. Sorry.
For sure. No, you're good. We got to take one more timeout. We'll have kind of a wrap-up here of the show. We're going to talk some Northern State basketball.
Yeah, let's
where,
do it.
Where you guys begin, of course, here. Well, I'm sure you already have begun. But we'll talk about that and much more coming up next on FSA. Sports Up continues on FSA. Matt Wilbur joining us live in studio. Been a fun conversation on and off the air alike. And we keep that stuff off the air,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
This is radio after all. Well, I tell you what, it's a pleasure to have you here in studio again, battling the weather and the elements and what have you. Northern State, of course, that's officially now underway. Where do you begin as your coaching regime begins?
Well, it's obviously getting settled in and you know, figuring everything out just from a logistical standpoint of the campus and who to go to for this. But in the immediate, it's the roster. You know, it's immediately start recruiting, immediately start contacting kids. You know, we're in the landscape where the portal is open and there's thousands of kids in there. And so you're just right at that. But we have six kids in, you know, we have six kids in the portal. I don't know if I'll handle it this way every year, but this year is like, hey, Coach Wilbur just got hired. I'm in an evaluation standpoint with the current roster. They all know that. One thing is evident with that group is the types of kids in there. We got really good kids in that program, like some good kids that are easy to work with and easy to talk to. But there's a basketball component and a personal component when you're talking about roster formation on a college basketball team. And it's the same thing when you start talking about playing time, you know, like, hey, we're going to play the best guys. We got to get the best guys we can in here. And so that's where the attention is at. And so we've got guys that are trying to figure out, you know, hey, where do they fit and how that is going. And I've told them, I'm gonna do my due diligence. I'm not gonna make any gut reactions on kids and just say, hey, this is where I see you fitting in or not fitting in. And so I've met with everybody, and we're all kind of on the same page with this as we keep moving. So it's definitely roster attention. And so recruiting will be out this weekend, and it's also staff assembly. And, you know, I feel good about where we're going in that direction and getting closer to, you know, getting a couple of guys in here that will be great fits here. That'll be, I think, you know, when you form a staff, you don't want everybody to speak like you and talk like you and look like you and do all those things, right? Like you gotta, you know, like my energy doesn't need to look like somebody else's. And so you try to find the yin and yang, but everybody on the same mission and same, you know, same goal. So I feel really good about where that's going. I'm hoping I have some, you know, get some announcements here about that soon. But internally, you know, we are in a cultural reset, and with any coaching change, I don't care what happened. You know, you could have won the national championship the year before. There's going to be changes. You bring one player in, that's a difference in what the culture is going to be. That's just how it is. It's every year. And I used to say to our guys at DWU, just because we won last year doesn't mean we're going to win this year. Like, you don't get to carry anything with you. So you've got to establish a culture. It's going to be, what does this look like under Coach Wilbur? Our guys have been open to that. And there's been talks like, you maybe haven't seen a culture this way or been held to an accountability standpoint from the way we are. And that's anywhere, you know. And so, here, you know, we're all still got to talk basketball. But meeting with our guys, you know, it's evident that they're not all speaking the same language culturally. That's just a blatant, honest truth. You're going to get a lot of truth from me. I'm not going to ever hide anything, you know, but we got to get everybody talking the same way for who's going to be here next year first. And so I am excited about that. That stuff is the stuff that I love to do. I love being a part of that. I love seeing guys, you know, that development, the team coming together, whatever. But we are. I mean, we don't have a full roster right now. I don't know about our entire roster. Guys are looking at other places. So we're kind of in a completely recruiting standpoint of evaluating our current roster and recruiting our current roster of the guys we want to bring back and those guys that want to come back. So that's what's going on in the immediate, as well as Coach Wilbur, you know, maybe not today as much, but wandering around campus, wondering where every building is and what where I'm supposed to be. So I've told our guys, there's a good chance if you see me walking around campus, I don't know where I'm going. So don't be afraid to ask me and let me, you know. So, like I said, I'm pretty accessible as a coach. So I'm excited about diving in and settling in Aberdeen. I'm up here full time now, albeit maybe not in a permanent residence. So again, if you see a tent out like on the 50-yard line at Dakota Field, you know who's housed out there. So don't be afraid to come out and drop off a space heater if you see something out there. But that's what I got going on. I'm telling you, I can't wait to get going. I mean, we already are, obviously. Everybody that's up here knows how special this place is, and you can feel the energy and how important it is. And the press conference was a little overwhelming. I got my big face on the scoreboard. I'm like, dude, we got to get that down. And so, And so good for you guys. I'm proud of you. I didn't tune in. Eventually the media storm and of Coach Wilbur getting hired here will wear off, and we can really start focusing on getting to work. And that started to happen already. But man, I can't tell you how humbled and honored and proud I am to be up here.
This is probably a pretty broad question, but you know, people you see on social media talk, you know, they say the word expectation.
How about your expectation? The one thing, too, when you're coaching and working with kids, a word I use a lot is compartmentalize, because you got to be and grown men and people, you have to compartmentalize your life. You know, there's things you got to do. You got to do your job, and there might be stuff going on outside. And, you know, we all know these things. And so you can compartmentalize expectations. And so right now there's a cultural expectation. You know, there's a box of, hey, this is how we got to work and how we got to do this. There's the basketball expectation of. You know, hey, this is our systems. This is how we're going to run offense. This is how we're going to run defense, the terminology of it. And then you get to what everybody wants to see, the winning and losing, the scoreboard expectation. Now, the scoreboard, now, if you're ultra talented, it doesn't matter. Those other two things don't matter. Culture, you can do whatever you want offensively. You can have whatever type of people in your locker room if you're completely talented and win a ton of games. I don't want to do it that way. That's not how I've done it. We're going to dive in. But, yeah, you can't have the scoreboard read the way you want it to without really high culture standards and really good execution of what you're doing offensively and defensively and in the transition world. So we got to find some skilled dudes. We got to find some guys that want to do this. We got to find some high-energy guys, and we're going to look for them, and we're going to vet them, and we're going to find guys that are going to do that. And I haven't been 100% on that, but – we try our butts off to get those points across. So I don't know if that answers your question very well, but yeah, that's a compartmentalized, you know, list of expectations, and they can be separate at times.
We're going to be just a titch over here for Colin Cowherd at the top of the hour. Final question.
That's totally fine.
They'd rather listen to you than
well, I don't know about
Cowherd.
That.
Anyway, I do. final one before I get you out of here. You mentioned the word culture. Every coach has a different definition of culture, I feel like. What does that mean to you?
It's a buzzword, right? It's a buzzword everybody uses. If anybody's got a better word, like, I would love to change it. Like, I would love to change it. But, you know, I got my old English teacher in me. Now, I messed up in a lot of those, too, when I was trying to teach English, and you're talking about pronoun usage and all that stuff. But I asked him, like, hey, what's the definition of culture, fellas? And if you just basically say it, you know, it's a group of people and their way of life and how they talk, how they act. And the biggest one for me is, what are you thinking as a player? So when you talk about this, are you thinking about us? Everybody wants what they want from a me guy type deal. That's fine. But you better be a big we guy. You got to be thinking about us. And this is our shot. And this is our game. And this isn't just about you. And so you deep dive into that. And guys can tell you whatever they want. They can even play hard and fake it. But they, you know, their thoughts, what they're thinking about and how they're thinking, that's the biggest part of a culture, I think. And when you get guys thinking the right way and they think the same way, man, that's cool. But I'm telling you, in my experience, you have to hit that every single day. If there's anything that's going to get talked about every day, it's what are you doing as a teammate? What are we doing as a team? Are you trying to win your teammates over? And I'm going to do that too. I'm not just like, hey, it's my way or the highway. That's not how you coach anymore. Our guys are going to see me bought into them, and they're going to see the energy from me outward and how they respond to that. I hope is like, hey, this guy's with us. This guy wants to do this with us. We're all in this together. I understand I got to be the guy to make decisions and do all the stuff and be at the top, but I'm just another part of the culture. And right now, I probably have to be the highest one up there and try to raise guys to that. And eventually I'll be able to hand that off to a player, but then we got to bring guys up to that because I'm not going to lower those standards of a culture. So, yeah, man, I love that part. That's the stuff that gets me going, and I'm excited. And I think we got some guys in our program that are itching for some of that too. So, I like I said, I can't wait.
I'm excited for basketball season.
Hey, let's go.
It literally just ended. It's like, here we go again. Yep. All right, Coach. Appreciate you popping in the studio here.
Thanks for having me. And if I'm back in 5 minutes, you'll know why.
Yeah, there you go. That's Matt Wilbur live in studio here on FSA. And before we do leave, just a friendly reminder that today is Given Day. NSU's Given Day starts up at 12 noon. The goal is to get 1,500 donors to help provide essential funding to many of the programs and services that NSU provides. Check out givingday.northern.edu. That's givingday.northern.edu. Colin Cowherd coming up at the top of the hour. We're back at it tomorrow on the Sports Hub.
Yes.